Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet. Nit Amrilu o Nit Gershu. Bamine Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmuel. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef asked this question of Shmuel. Kohen Gadol, Shikideshe Taktana, Ubagra Tachtav. He had Kiddushim with a Ktana, and then she turns into a Bogeret while she is still under him. The question is unclear. The Gemara will clarify the question in a second. The way the Rashi reads the question is that Shmuel understood the question to be whatever the Gemara says in the end. But then the Gemara doesn't flow so easily if you do that. If you say that they understood the question up front, then what was he answering? Why do you need all the discourse between that? So most assume that the way that we understand the question up front is that this is a continuation of the Gemara from yesterday. And yesterday the questions were in situations where there was an Isur in the marriage, is there a problem with chupa or kiddushin to a psula? So over here, a bogeret, which we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah, is problematic for a kohen gadol. And what it seemingly is being asked here is kohen gadol shekideshe taktana ubagra tachtav, which means he had kiddushin with a woman who will end up being a psula. Is that kiddushin? Is that problematic? So mau batar nisuin azlinan ubator erusin azlinan. Do we go after the Nisuin, or do we go after Erusin? At the time of the Erusin, she was fine. The Nisuin, there was a problematic Nisuin here. Amalei tinitua. That's our Mishnah. Nitar milu, o nitgarshu min ha Nisuin psulot, min ha Erusim ksherot. So here you have the answer. The answer here is if this marriage was never consummated, and the Kohen Gadol dies. Now, if he dies after Kiddushin, or he dies after Nisuin. So Shmuel says back to him, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah already discusses when you have Kiddushin or Nisuin with someone who is a Pasul, then the resultant status of the woman depends at which point that was. If it was Mina Erusin, then Ksherot, she remains as a Kshera. She doesn't lose her status as being Kshera de Kuna. On the other hand, if it's from the Nisuin, even though there was no Biyah, even though the Kohen Gadol died before he consummated the marriage, nevertheless, if it's after Nisuin, then she is psula. Then she has a status of being problematic for the Kihuna. Amarlei, the Shavya Chalala Lokami Bayili. My question here is not the status of the woman in terms of her being a Chalal or not. De Biyahi, de Mishavya Chalala. I understand that only Biyah changes the status of the woman in terms of making it to her Chalala. Kika mi bayile, this is my question. Vehu isha bivtuleha ikach. It says that the Kohen Gadol is required to take a woman who is a bitula. Mai, kicha dikdushin beinan. What is kicha? Generally in the Torah, the way that Torah Shebe'al Peh reads the word kicha in the Torah, kicha references to kiddushin or erusin. Does not refer to nisuin. So over here it seems to be that the requirement is that he has kiddushin with a bitula. He had that. He had kiddushin with her when she was a tana. The only thing is that she aged out while she was still in this status of kiddushin, and then he only performed nisuin afterwards. Oh, kicha de nisuin beinan. Or is the kicha also matzrich here that not only is the erusin or kiddushin, but also the nisuin have to be at the time when she is a ptula. Amalei, hanami tinitua. That's also a mishnah. Eres et adamana. Vinitmana liyot kohen gadol. He has irusin with a widow while he was a kohen hejot. A kohen hejot is perfectly mutar with an amana, with a widow. He has no restrictions. But then in the interim, he got a promotion and he became the kohen gadol between the time that he had irusin with this woman, but before he had nisuin, before he married her. But if he's already married and has nisuin, it's done, then the woman's already his wife. Over here, she's not his wife yet, so now you have a question. The Mishnah says, Ichnos, he completes the marriage. So you see here, if he started Beheter, he had the Kiddushin Beheter, we allow him to consummate and do the Nisuin, even though now technically this woman is Asura to him. So he started out with an Almana, Kiddushin Beheter, now the Nisuin are going to be Beisur, we say go ahead and finish off the marriage, no problem. So say the same thing here. He had Kiddushin with the Ktana, when she still has status of Betula. So even though now she's a Bogeret, nevertheless, he should be able to finish off and do the Nisuin when she's a Bogeret. It says, Shani Hotam. It's different. Dichtiv. ikach isha. Because by the case of Amanah, it says ikach isha. So we're suggesting here that the ikach isha is telling us that he just has to take her. As long as he has kiddushin with her, that suffices to allow him to finish off this marriage with this woman. So hachana miktiv, isha. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Also, by our pasuk, by the betulah, it also says isha, because it says ki im betulah mi'amav ikach isha. So you also have ikach isha by us. These are two psukim in a row. It's your gimel and your dal, the psukim here. It says here, ikach isha as well. Where it says, no. Isha achat velo shtayim. Isha is one and not two. That we're only going to be mirabeh one situation, a worth circumstance, where we allow him to continue with the marriage, and not both. Because isha is in the singular. So Gemara says, umaraita. How do you know which one's right? How do you know that almanah is the one that we allow to be finished? If you started it, we allow you to finish it. How do you know that it's not the case of Bulgarit? That if you started Bibitulah, you should be able to finish off the Bulgarit. Because there's a core difference between them. Ha ishtani gufa, ha lo ishtani gufa. Over here, the woman has changed. Her physical and status has changed. And therefore, she's as if she's a different woman now. He started out with a Bitulah, now he has a Bulgarit. The status and both the physical side of this woman have changed. And the fact that they've changed already makes it as if the kiddushin that you did before was with another woman, and now you're dealing with a different woman that you're trying to complete the nisuin with. There, we're not going to allow it. In the case of almanah, the woman definitely didn't change. The only one here is the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol himself didn't change. It's only that he was nitmaneh the Kohen Gadol. He is the same individual, the same person. He's just now been appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. So there's less of a change or dramatic change in his status, and therefore we're going to allow it to go through in that case, because not much has changed. Whereas by Bulgarit, there's much more significant change that has gone on, because especially the physical changes to the girl, and because of that we won't allow it to be completed. It is interesting that the Rambam learned from here, it's a very difficult Rambam, but the Rambam learns from this, Ktiv isha achat velo shtayim, that a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to have one wife, and not two wives. So the Rambam learns this, the Magid Mishnah claims that he gets it from here in this Gemara, but the Rishonim, especially the Raib, would come down on the Rambam and say that doesn't fit the flow of the Gemara, plus there are examples in Shas where there are Kohanim Gedolim that seem to have multiple wives, Kohanim Gedolim Ksherim that have multiple wives, so the Raib goes through a lot of trouble to prove that that's not the case, and it's very suspect, this source for the Rambam, because it really doesn't seem like it's true, and the evidence seems to point against it. But just to know, the Rambam paskins here, isha achat velo shtayim, that a Kohen Gadol can only have one wife. Now the Mishnah, here's the Mishnah that discusses with regards to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol lo isa almana. Ben almana mine rusim, ben almana mine nisuin. A woman that is a widow is restricted to a Kohen Gadol. That doesn't matter if she's widowed from erusin or widowed from nisuin. He may not marry a bugeret. A bugeret is a girl over the age of 12 and a half. They say he can marry a girl over the age of 12 and a half. But he cannot marry a woman who no longer has her bitulim. She lost her bitulim. Mukateitz is just an example, but she has some sort of incident where she lost her bitulim. But it was not because of bi'ilah, but because of some outside issue. The Gemara's example is mukatech. She got hit hard by something that caused her to lose her bitulim. These things happen, so here, the Gemara's terminology for that is mukatech. But what they suggest is, bogeret is fine, but if she loses her bitulim, even though it wasn't through bi'ah, she's not called a bitula anymore, and therefore she can't marry the Kohen Gadol. Tan Rabbanan. Almana lo yikach. He may not take an almana. Bein almana min erusim, bein almana min nisuim. She's a widow. It doesn't matter if she's widowed from erusin or nisuin, she can't take it. Gemara says, pshita. Why would you have thought otherwise? Why does the Mishnah have to tell you that? Why would you have thought that it makes a difference when you're an almana? Ma'u detema leilif almana, almana mitamar. Let us learn out. Almana gzera shava from tamar. Malahalan min nisuin. Afkan min nisuin. Just like over there, when it calls Tamar an almana, she's an almana from nisuin, from a full-fledged marriage. Again, the reason being, very simply, there was no Kiddushin at that time. So obviously it's from the Nisuin. In 2 weeks time, the Parsha is going to speak about it. It's the first time the terminology is used. So if the term Almanah is used by her, and it only means Almanah min Nisuin, therefore this should be maybe a Mare Makom, a Gilui Milta as to the meaning of Almanah. Almanah means Mina Nisuin. So Afkan, we would have said the same thing, Mina Nisuin. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. We do not learn it that way. Where it says, V'eimah Al-Khanami. Why not? Okay, it's nice that you say we have an option to learn this way and we don't, but why don't we learn it this way? Dumya de Grusha. Because Almana and Grusha are similar. There's a restriction against a Kohen marrying a Grusha. Ma Grusha, ben min Nisuim, ben min Eirusim. Doesn't matter with Grusha whether it's from Nisuim or Erusin. Af Almana, ben min Eirusim, ben min Nisuim. So too by Almana, the same will be true. Now, all the Rishonim ask here, well, how do you know by Grusha? Why is it so pashut by Grusha? And number two is, why not learn the other way around? Say that Tamar tells us that an Almanah is only an Almanah min a Nisuin, and then Grusha will also only be min a Nisuin. Why is the Gemara so set and fails so simply that Grusha is min a Rusin and min a Nisuin? So a number of answers given. One answer given is that Grusha is a restriction for a Kohen Hejot. Almanah is a restriction for a Kohen Gadol. In that case, you would have thought there is a differentiation because by Kohen Gadol, there's a requirement of Bitula. So you might have thought to differentiate between Almanah min Erusin, Almanah min Nisuin because of this issue of Bitula. By Kohen Hejot, there's no issue of Bitula. He simply can't marry a Grusha. So if that's the case, it should make no difference whether she's a Grusha, min Erusin, min Nisuin. And that's why the Gemara takes it for granted and supposes that by Grusha, it's both min Erusin or min Nisuin. So that's one reason. Another reason might be that the Almanah by Tamar is not a limud. It's a Giloy Milta. Now, a Giloy Milta can help us understand what the word Almanah means for Almanah. But then to go and take that and say that's the definition of Almanah and we're going to apply it to Grusha, that's a little harder because it's not a limud where we're making a Gzeira Shava of Almanah, Almanah. It's just a Giloy Milta as to what the word means. When you have a Giloy Milta like that, it might affect that term, but to then extrapolate that term also to Grusha, we won't do. That being maybe another reason why the Gemara doesn't lean in that direction. And you see in Tosfot, he says, Dumya de Grusha, Vim Tomar Adraba Grusha, Dumya de Almanah, the Dafka Minin Yisuim, Yishlomar, to the Chumrah Makshinan. That we only go to Chumrah. When you have a Hekesh like this, you go to the Tzad Chumrah. So you have a choice now. Almanah is to the Kula, Grusha is to the Chumrah. We're going to go to the Tzad Chumrah. All right, Veloy Sata Bogeret. So here's your question. Why may he not marry a Bogeret? Taru Banan. V'hu isha biftuleha ikach. He has to marry a woman who is a bitula. The Gemara here is bringing a braita that's going to break the word down into three parts. It's going to break it down into bitula, bituleha, and then biftuleha. Which means that there are three limudim that are going to come out of this word because of the complexity of the word. The Torah could have written, v'hu isha bitula ikach. So you could have written that. So since it wrote biftuleha, it's already used the word isha for the limud above. Now we could have the word bitula, get three limudim out of this. Bitula to bitula, and then bivtula. So now the writer says, Tanur banan, v'isha bivtula ikach prat, libogeret, shukala la bitula, divri Rabbi Meir. This is to exclude a case of a bogeret where her bitulim are stopped, or taken down. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirim bebogeret. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say a bogeret is fine. But my kamiflege, what is their machloket? What is the source of their machloket? Rabbi Meir Savar bitula afilu miksat bitulim mashma. The word bitula, had you just used the word bitula, it would have meant any amount of bitulim, that would suffice. Bitula adika kola bitulim. Then it's only true if she has all her bitulim there. Bivtula comes to teach you another din, bikedarka in shalokedarka lo. That she only can lose her status as bitula if she has biya kedarka, but if she has biya shelo kedarka, that would not take away her status as a bitula. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Sabre, bitula, if you just had the word bitula, bitula shlema mashma. Bitula would mean complete bitula. Bituleha comes to say, afilu mitzat bitulim, even if you only have some of the bitulim there. Bivtula, as you call bitula kayamim, then only if she is completely a bitula, which means ben bekarka, ben shelo bedarka. She can lose her status as a bitula if she has biya kedarka or if she has biya shelo kedarka. The difference or the premise of their machloket here is how you define the base word bitula. Do you start out with betula, meaning full-fledged, total betula? Or do you start out with the word betula, meaning any amount of betula? It might be that their difference is, what is the definition of betula? Is betula a physiological definition, which is betula refers to the betulim of the woman, and that might be Rabbi Meir's shita. Or the word betula can also mean shelo nivala. She didn't have any bi'ah. Not talking about the physiological side, but just the fact that she is not be'ula. Be'ula is the opposite of be'ula. And that might be the Chachamim's position. As long as she has any betulim left there, then she's classified as not being a be'ula. So now, once you've started with that point, you now have to move along. You have two other drashot that have to move from that stage one. Depending where you start, then your next stage is going to be either to maybe mayit or to be mirabeh. And then once you go on, it's either ein riboy achar riboy el lamayit or ein miyot achar miyot el rabot. So Rabbi Meir, if you're talking about the physiological bitulim, then any amount will suffice. If you're talking about a woman who is an ibi'ula, meaning that she's not had bi'iyah, then you would assume that her bitula is, or bitulim are completely intact. Not the physiological ones necessarily, but the fact that she is a bitula, because she has that status. So Rabbi Meir, who starts off with a mixat bitulim, the next word is going to be a riboy. So the riboy is going to say, not only mixat bitulim, but you need a full bitulim. The physical side has to be a full bitulim. Then you have another riboy after that. In riboy achar riboy, ela lema'et. That miyut is going to say it only applies kidarka, not shegelo kidarka. Whereas Belos and Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, are going to say, bitula means the full bitula. She has the same bitula. Then you have another word that comes afterwards, which seems to be is a miyut. So that miyut says, afilu mixat bitulim is okay. Then you have another miyut, so a miyut, acha miyut, el rabot, and that's going to have to be merabe, that even shaloka darka is going to be problematic over here. The basis of where they start, plus the limudim, might determine where you're going with it. The resultant din is, that according to Rabbi Meir, so the Gemara's assumption now is that a girl who reaches the age of bitula, means that she comes up as a ktana, and then once she reaches of age of 12, she maximizes out her bitulim between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. And this is what the Gemara assumes physiologically, that her bitulim are in full force when she peaks at the age of 12 and a half. Everybody agrees that she has her bitulim when she's already over the age of 3 years and 1 day. That continues until she's the age of 12 and a half. At 12 and a half, she peaks. The Gemara's assumption is that at peak of 12 and a half, she turns over to be a bogeret. There is some sort of reduction in her bitulim. The reduction in bitulim seems to be, the Gemara thinks, is a physiological reduction, that her bitulim are going to be less or somehow minimized from her aging. Not simply because she had bi'ah, but even when she ages, the bitulim will be reduced. So based on that assumption, then the Gemara assumes that once she reaches a bogeret, she has mixat bitulim and doesn't have all of her bitulim. Woman goes through physical changes that somehow reduce her bitulim once she is over the age of 12 and a half. And that's the description that's given here between full bitulim and mixat bitulim. So until the age of 12 and a half, she's assumed to have all of her bitulim. And that's what at least the demand is, according to Rabbi Meir, that she has full bitulim. Mixat bitulim will not suffice over here, according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, she's got to marry a girl before the age of 12 and a half. And then Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say, even mixat bitulim suffices to her to be called a bitula. Again, most likely because they see the definition as being an e-bitula. So it doesn't matter how much of her bitulim are there, as long as she is a bitula, that's enough. So then, in that scenario, even a bogeret would be fine. On the other hand, once you reach the issue of darka and shaloka darka, for Rabbi Meir, who's focused on the physiological bitulim, then the only problem is to have biyak darka. Biyashaloka darka doesn't affect the physical bitulim. On the other hand, for Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that the definition of bitula is ibula, someone who doesn't have biya, then biya kedarka and shaloka darka is going to present you with a problem. So that's the machloket here between them as to who is this woman that the Kohen Gadol has to marry.
Small window, wow.
Or if he's married to the woman beforehand, that would solve the problem. Most Kohenim Gadolim are not born Kohenim Gadolim. They get appointed later on, so they're probably already married to their wives before they become a Kohen Gadol. That's probably the easiest solution. But if as a Kohen Gadol, he's going to take a wife, he has to take a bitula. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So now we have a statement of Rav, which is going to have us work things out here, which is, Nivala Shaloki Darka Psulada Kihuna. If she has Biyah Shaloki Darka, she is Psulada Kihuna. The assumption here is the statements about a Kohen Gadol, because that's the topic that we are on. So, and the Gemara brings the topic here. The assumption is that what Rav is saying is, if she has Biyah Shaloki Darka, she's no good for the Kihuna. Psak Halacha of Rav, seemingly like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. Meitiv Rava. Rava challenges this and says, Velo Tieli Isha. She will be to him a wife. This is talking about in Sefer Dvarim, Parsha Kitetze, a case of anes, someone who rapes a woman. The punishment, or part of the punishment for this man who rapes the woman is Velo Tieli Isha, that she must become his wife. And what happens in a situation where the woman is not Ruyalo? He can't marry the woman. For instance, Visha Aruyalo. Only in a case where the woman is appropriate for marriage. Prat, the almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekohen hedjot, which would exclude a case of rape where a kohen gadol raped an almana, or a kohen hedjot raped a grusha v'chalutza who they are not allowed to marry. Now, of course, we're not saying that these are cases that happen. We're just trying to make a point that these are examples of situations in which the woman would be inappropriate. Obviously, it would be inappropriate that the Kohen Gadol is raping women. So that's a separate issue. The Kohen Gadol, if this incident happens, then the punishment of Lo Tieli Isha will not be carried out. Now, there are some Mishonim to note over here. Why not? Lo Tieli Isha is an Asay. Here you have a Lo Tasay not to marry these women. Asay, Doka Lo Tasay. Why don't we say that here? Especially in a case where the Asay is an Asay for everybody. And the lotaseh is only a lotaseh that's shayach lekohanim, makes it a weaker lotaseh. So maybe it definitely should be overridden. The answer might be is because in the case of Lo Tieli Isha, both the father of the girl as well as the girl herself can reject the marriage. So since the aseh is not a full-fledged aseh, it's not automatic that he has to marry the woman. If the woman says that she doesn't want to marry him, or the father says that she's not marrying him, then the aseh doesn't go through. So it's not a foolproof assay, and that's why it probably does not override the law over here. Heichi dami. The Gemara wants to know how exactly this case happened. Remember, she is now an almana to a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has another requirement in terms of marriage, that she be a bitula. Over here, he just raped the woman. How is she a bitula now and an almana? Okay, she's an almana. We can say she's an almana min ha'erusin. So therefore, she's a bitula and still an almana. But after a case of rape, how is it possible that she still has a status of bitula, that he's allowed to marry her? Ilema bikidarka. If he had biya with her kidarka, mayiriya mishum amana. Well, he can't marry her because she's an amana. Typically, mishum davia lebula. Can't marry her because she's no longer a bitula. Elalav. So what was the incident here with the ones case, the rape case here is, that it was shaloki darka. He had biya with her shaloki darka. Umishum amana in mishum bi'ula lo. That's why there's only a problem of amana, not a problem of bi'ula, implying that biya shaloki darka does not make her into a ibitula, does not ruin the fact that she is a bitula against Rav's statement. Rav made a statement that nivala shaloki darka is psula the kohen gadol. Over here we're saying the only way to solve the problem in this breita, to explain this breita, is to say that it was a case of shaloki darka. And because it was this case, Shaloka Darka, that's why she's now still considered to be a bitula. But a problem of almana, in this case of rape. Where it says, Hamani, that's an easy answer. Rabbi Meir, that's an easy answer. We just had a machloket about this. Rabbi Meir says, Shaloka Darka is not a problem of bitula. Whereas, Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Shimon believe that it is a problem. So that breita is Rabbi Meir. V'rav, Gamarka Rabbi Elazar. And Rav paskins like Rabbi Elazar. He's paskins like the shito that says that Shaloka Darka is problematic. Ki Rabbi Elazar, if he's paskins like Rabbi Elazar, my iria mishum bi'ula. Well, then bi'ula is the only problem here. Typically, davi la zona. Forget about bi'ula. There's just another problem, which is that she's a zona. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, panui habal al pnuya shalol l'shem yishut. Rabbi Elazar is a dat yachid in this manner, says that you can create a zona from a single man who has an intimate relationship with a single woman. So here, out of wedlock, they have a relationship. There's no illicit relationship here. They're both single. It's just out of wedlock. He says, asa zona. She gets a status of a zona. So over here, what's the story? We have a woman who's single. She's an amana. She was widowed. Min erusin. Here, the Kohen Gadol has bi'ah with her. That bi'ah will now make her into a zonah. A zonah is not only problematic for a Kohen Gadol, a zonah is also problematic for a Kohen Hedjot. So there are a number of questions that come up here. One question is, all that Rav said is that nivala shelo kedarka is psula lekehuna. He never said it wasn't because of zonah. He just said bi'ah shelo kedarka results in a psula lekehuna. There's no evidence here that Rav thinks that she's not a zonah. She may well be a zonah. Maybe that's even the problem here. That's number one problem. Although the Rishonim suggest that if that was the case, Rav should have said that we were talking about a Kohen Hedjot and not just a Kohen Gadol, even though Rav only says Psula the Kuna. He never says Psula the Kohen Gadol, but again, in the context in which Rav's statement is brought, it makes it seem that he's talking about a Kohen Gadol. Number two is, why does Rav have to hold like Rabbi Elazar? Rav can hold like Rabbi Elazar that Bia Shloka Darka ruins a Bitula, makes her into a Bula, but who says he has to hold like Rabbi Elazar, but Panuya Baal Pnuya? Rav can just say, I don't hold like Rabbi Elazar's Shita there. I only hold about a Shita here. Especially because, over here, if you remember, the Machloka was between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. All Rav has to say is, I hold like Rabbi Shimon. I don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. Why does he have to hold like Rabbi Elazar? So the Rishonim are all up in arms about the Gemara's questions. The Gemara seems to be throwing questions at Rav that have no relevance to Rav. Rav could easily get out of this problem. So one way to solve the problem is to say, Enochanami. The Gemara had all these other answers, but it finds a better answer in the end. And so the better answer we would rather use. That's one way. The other answer is that this is the method that Tosafot uses. The Gemara here is really not out of Rav's opinion. The Gemara doesn't really care about Rav's opinion anymore. The Gemara wants to know Rabbi Elazar's opinion. And the Gemara is focused on solving Rabbi Elazar's opinion, and we've left Rav behind. The Gemara now picks it up and just goes flying with Rabbi Elazar's opinion to find a solution there. In Ochanami, we had other answers for Rav, and that's not what the Gemara is after over here. So now, assuming that there is a problem here because Rabbi Elazar's opinion would make her into a zonah as well, then what is the answer to this question here? You have Nivala Shaloka Darka, which says that she is no longer a bitula, but she's also a zonah. So why is it only by Kohen Gadol, not by Kohen Hedjot? So I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Kigon Shnivala the Behema. The answer is that she performed bestiality. Tahata Mishim Be'ula Ika, Mishim Zonah Aleika. When it comes to bestiality, it will ruin her status as a bitula. She will be classified as a bi'ula now, but she will not be classified as a zonah. Zonah is only me'ish, only when it comes from a human being. Anything that's not a human being will not make her into a zonah. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye the student of Yosef, says to me, monofshach. So Abaye says, I don't understand, the two are connected. I bi'ula avya, zonah nami avya. If she's a bi'ula, that means that the bi'a is considered to be a bi'a. If that's the case, she should also be classified as a zonah. The two should be correlated. V'i zonah, lo havya, if she's not a zonah, bula nami lo havya. If whatever happened here does not make her into a zonah, that means that whatever happened here wasn't bia. Abaye says that the two terminologies should be synonymous. The only question is, was there bia here? Bia takes away her status as a bitula, it also makes her into a zonah. So if that's the case, how do you separate between these two items? How can you have a case where a woman is a bitula, and yet she is not a zonah? V'chi teima mida dehavya mukat eitz shelo kedarka. And what are you going to say? It's just like a case of mukat eitz shelo kedarka. Here, it's unclear what the Gemara means, but mukat eitz is someone who loses her virginity not through bi'ah. The shelo kedarka part over here is not clear what that means, shelo kedarka, because by definition, it's shelo kedarka by mukat eitz. So whether it means that it's an unusual manner, an unintentional manner, whatever that happened here. Mukat eitz shelo kedarka, then if you say that by a mukadeh shelo kedarka, she is now considered to be a bi'ula, and just like Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah that a mukat eitz is psula the Kohen Gadol, so too over here, the bi'a of a behema shelo kedarka also grants her the status of mukat eitz, not a problem of zonah, and therefore the issue for the Kohen Gadol here is not zonah, not bi'ah shelo kedarka, like we thought before. Abaye is right. Bi'ah and znut come together. If there's no bi'at behema, there's also no status of zonah. So what is the problem? The problem is she's no different than like a mukat eitz. A mukat eitz in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says, is psula de kuhuna. So let's call this woman a mukat eitz, even though mukat eitz generally means that she's lost her bitulim. But maybe it's talking about a mukat eitz shalokedarka, mukat eitz shalokedarka, where her bitulim are still intact. But because for whatever reason, something penetrated her from behind, and that will classify her as being a bi'ula, so to over here, we'll say the same thing. The behema that had relations with her shalokedarka will be posel her from the Kohen Gadol because she's classified as a bi'ula. Nothing to do with the zonah. So now, you're going to run yourself into a huge problem here. Im kein in the chayishak shera de kuhuna. We're not going to find a single woman who is kasher de kuhuna. Shelo nasit mukat eitz ayidei tzror. It seems that this is an example of mukat eitz shelo kedarka, which is you're never going to find a woman who doesn't lose her bitulim because of the nature of the toilet paper they used in those days. They used toilet paper, they used to use stones, smooth stones instead of soft tissue and toilet paper. The Gemara assumes that that hard stone that's used as toilet paper causes her to lose her status as a bitula because of this. If that's the case, you'll never find a woman who can marry a Kohen Gadol, because they'll all be classified as bitula. So what's the answer? The answer is that you must be wrong. Your assumption is wrong. Because biyat behema shaloka darka, according to Abaye, is either a problem of biyat and zonah, or is not a problem at all. You wanted to suggest maybe it has nothing to do with zonah, it has to do with mukade shaloka darka. Once you walk down that path, you open Pandora's box, and there won't be a single woman that is ru'uya le kohen gadol. Elamer Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira suggests bimamenet. Rabbi Zeira says that it's a case of mamenet, which is a case where a girl got married Kiddushei D'Rabbanan while she was still a minor. Her father passed away, and now she's being married off by her brother or mother, which is Kiddushim D'Rabbanan. While she has Kiddushim D'Rabbanan, the Baal, her husband, has Bia with her, Shalo Kedarka. Then, later on, she decides she doesn't want to be married to this Kohen Gadol, and she performs Miyun. She annuls the marriage. So now you have a case here where this girl is Bi'ula, a problem of a bia shaloka darka, but she is not necessarily considered to be a zonah, because it was done, this bia that was done within the context of marriage. But that is a little problematic, because the context of marriage here is only midei rabbanan. Because here, you're talking about miyun, which means it's only kiddushin de rabbanan. It must be, and what you have to say here is that the definition of zonah, according to Rabbi Elazar, has two parts to it. One is, it's a panoi with a pnuya, but it also means that it's done the shame's note. So there are two parts to it. It's both that this is intimate relationship, plus it's done the shame's note. In our case, yes, it's an intimate relationship between technically a panui and pnuya midoraita, but it wasn't done the shame's note. The time that bia was done in the context of a marriage to Rabbanan, and therefore it was done the shame nisilin, or the shame marriage, not the shame's note. And that's why it's not problematic. So the answer to the question here about the circumstance in which this will happen is, by Mima Enet, you will have this case where, according to Rabbi Elazar, you will not be defined as a zonah. There is a problem of a bia shaloka darka, lack of bitula. The case of Rav, according to Rabbi Elazar, would be a case. We have a ktana who was married Kiddushei de Rabbanan, had bia shaloka darka, and then performed miyun and annulled the marriage. So she doesn't have almana because it was Kiddushei de Rabbanan, so she's not an almana. She is not a zonah because it was done in the context of marriage, but she is a bi'ula according to Rabbi Elazar because she had bia shaloka darka, which classifies her as a bi'ula. And here's your case that according to Rabbi Zeira, you need it. That this is the case where you don't have a zonah, but you do have a bi'ula. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Now a new thing. Nivala lebehema kshira lekuna. Woman who has bestiality is kshira lekuna. Now, truth is that she is deserving of the death penalty, and if there are witnesses and so on and so forth, she'll be put to death. But here's a case where they don't have witnesses, or for whatever reason, they can't put her to death. She is technically kshira lekuhuna because she's not considered to be a zonah. Tanya nami ochi, nivala lemi she'enu ish. Yeah, be out with someone who's not an ish, which is a broad definition. It doesn't mean a behema, it means anything that is not be of an ish. Afal pi shebiskila, even though bestiality as a punishment of skilak, shira de kuhuna. She nevertheless is shira de kuhuna. The point being that not every penetration into the woman is classified as being a biya. That's the basic point of the braita. Kiata Rav Dimi, Amar Masibri Vachat Behitlu. There was this case of this young lady in Hitlu, Shaita Michabedet et Abayit. She was sweeping up the house. She was bending over to sweep over the house. Virava Kelev Kufri Macharel. So here I can't say to you, this is not a case that happened. It seems like it is a case that happened. And this dog, it's a hunting dog. There's a stira here in Rashi and the Oruch as to whether it's a very large dog or a very small dog. But their hunting dogs came, forced himself upon this woman from behind. He ran on top of the woman when she was bent over. According to most of the Rishonim, it seems to be that there was a Bia Shaloki Darka by Behema. Vichshira Rabbi the Kehuna. And Rabbi says she's perfectly good to marry a Kohen at this time. She's not considered to be a Zona. Amar Shmuel Ulu Kohen Gadol. Not only is she good for a Kohen Hedjol, she's even good for a Kohen Gadol. So now the Gemara digresses and says, Bimei Rabbi Kohen Gadol Mehava. What do you mean, Kohen Gadol? Rabbi is post-Khurban, a good 150 years after the Khurban. How could it be that we're talking about a Kohen Gadol? Ella Ru'uya the Kohen Gadol. Doesn't mean literally she's going to marry a Kohen Gadol. She's Ru'uya the Kohen Gadol because this Bi'ah, Shaloka Darka, by a Behema, does not render her E Bitula, does not make her into a Bi'ula, and therefore she's not only not a Zona, she's also not considered to be a Bi'ula. Amar le Rava Mipirkin, or Mipar Zakaya, from this place, the Ravashi. Menaha Milto Damar Rabbanan. Where do we know this? We're making an assumption here that ain't Znut the Behema. All these statements over here make a general assumption that Zona and Behema are not synonymous, meaning that Bia from a Behema does not create a Zona. Dichtev, because the Pasuk says, Lo Tavi Etnan Zona Umichir Kelev. Beit Hashem Elokecha, you're not allowed to bring these things as offerings to Hashem. Edna zona is remuneration for an act of znut with a harlot. That object that was given in exchange for the services of the zona may not be brought as a korban. So if you have a sheep that is given to the zona for her services, that sheep cannot be brought in the mizbech. Mechir kelev is if you exchange a dog for another animal. If you exchange a dog for a sheep, that sheep can't be brought on the mizbech. Vitznan. Etnan kelev umechir zona. What about the reverse? What happens if it's in the reverse? Mutarim. Those are allowed on the Mizbeach. Shenemar. Because it says, Gam Shnehem. The Pasuk by Etnan Zona Mechir Kelev says, Gam Shnehem. Those two are problematic. Shnaim. Velo Arba'ah. There are only two things that are problematic, not four things that are problematic, which means we don't reverse the din. It's only the din in one direction. What's the case of Etnan Kelev and Mechir Zona? So the way Rashi describes Mechir Zona is, someone purchases a zona. He gives the tlan, he purchases a zona. So that's mechir zona. Etnan kelev is if he gives remuneration for the zona to perform something with his dog. He's basically paying her to have bestiality to sleep with his dog. So that's the etnan kelev. What you see is that these items do not create a problem of znot. Because etnan kelev is not considered to be etnan zona. If the performance of a sexual act with the kelev was considered to be znot, then etnan kelev by definition would be etnan zona. The fact that it isn't shows you that it's only etnan kelev and not etnan zona. It shows you that there's no znot by a behema. Tanur banan. Anusat atzmo, ufutat atzmo, lo isa. Kohen gadol may not marry a rape victim of himself or a seduction victim. Vim nasa nasui. If he does marry her, then he remains married to her. Anusat chaviro umufotat chaviro lo yisa. He may not marry a woman who's a rape victim or a seduction victim of his friend. Vim nasa, if he does marry her, then Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, havlad chalal. That is an illicit marriage for a kohen gadol, and therefore the vlad is a chalal. Chamim armim havlad kasher. The vlad is kasher here, even though he married someone that was otherwise should have been problematic because she's not a bitula. Now the Gemara is going to discuss this. Im nasa nasui. If anusat atzmo, futat atzmo, he goes ahead and marries her. Why, if he marries her, do we say he's married to her and that's it? Amravuna amarav umutzi biget. Im nasa nasui does not mean he can stay married to her. It means that he has to divorce her. But the marriage is a good enough marriage or valid marriage that he has to give a get. Vilahadaktani im nasa nasui. So then, okay. But of course, if he's married to her, he's got to get a get. He's only chiyuvei lavin here. So of course the kedushin goes through, he needs a get. So what does it mean, nasa nasui? And Rav Acher ben Yaakov Omar, she'im shalem knas, bimifuta. He doesn't have to pay the knas in the seduction case. In the case of rape, he has to pay the fine no matter what. Even if he marries the woman, he still has to pay the fine. In a case of seduction, if he marries the woman in the end, he does not have to pay the fine. So over here, if he marries her, even though he's going to have to divorce her now, the marriage now exempts him from paying the fine for a seduction. He told him over this whole discussion. A Kohen Gadol may not marry a Bogeret, like Rabbi Meir suggests, Umukadetz, a woman who does not have her Betulim, even though it didn't come through Biyam. Bimnasa Nasui. And if he does marry her, he is married. Now, over there, there's no Knas to speak about. What does that mean, Bimnasa Nasui? You can't give the same definition of it. Alma, Sofaliot Bogeret Tachtav, Sofaliot Mukadetz Tachtav. It's an interesting logic over here, which is, that when the Kohen Gadol marries a woman, he marries a woman when she's a bitula. But after the first time he has biyah with her, she's no longer a bitula. So if that's the case, after the first biyah, he's married to a bi'ula. And the Torah says that's fine. It's only the first biyah that matters, but after that he's allowed to have a woman who is a bi'ula. And that's what Rav Ashi is saying here. Why is the Kohen Gadol allowed to keep a bogeret and a mukatetz after he marries her, even though he shouldn't have married them? But once he's married her, once after the first biyah, these women look no different than what his wife would have looked like if he did marry a bitula, which is that they are bi'ulot. Bi'ulot are not asur to the Kohen Gadol. They are asur at the first biyah, but after that point in time, they're not asurim because he can remain married to them. So therefore, he stays married to them. Literally, nasan nasui means once he marries them, he's married, and that's it. Hachanami, sofaliot bula taktav. So, so too over here, that's the same meaning by anusan mifuta. But in some muta, she's no longer a bitula because of him, but she's no longer a bitula. If he marries her, it was wrong. But once he's married to her, nasan nasoy, then he's really married to her. Really married to her means she's no different than a woman had he married her if she was a bitula. So she, nasan nasoy means he should remain married to her. Kasha. That's a significant question on this statement of Amar Rabbeinu and Rav that motzi beget, that he has to divorce her. Who says he has to divorce her? The status of this woman is no different than a woman had he married her correctly or properly. So therefore, at this point in time, there's no reason for him to divorce her. There's nothing he can change at this point in time. He did the wrong act. Divorcing the woman's not going to change that. By an almana or grusha chalutza to kohen, she remains an almana or grusha chalutza. Every time he's together and married to her, there's a problem. So therefore, we say get divorced. Get rid of the woman. Over here, the status of this woman is no different than the status of a woman had he done it properly. So there's no reason to send her out. If he did it wrong, or illegally, or illicitly, now he's married to her, there's no reason to force him to divorce her, and therefore that's a question on this statement of Rav Huna Amar Rav. Okay, we'll stop here. The two dots on the top of Samach Umar Aleph.